From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Back in the early 60s, female lawyers were a rarity in America's courtrooms and classrooms, especially in the cloistered corridors of Harvard's law school. Of the 510 graduates in the Harvard Law class of 1964, 15 were women. They thought of themselves as a little drop floating in an ocean of testosterone, and it was rough sailing indeed. In a new book called Pinstripes and Pearls, Judith Richards Hope chronicles the sexism and the anger the women experienced, though all eventually went on to positions of prominence. Hope spoke to us along with one of her classmates, former Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, who recalls the women were treated like outcasts.
I remember coming in the first day and being first shocked that we had assigned seats, and then secondly, the young men on either side of me got up and said, "I've never sat next to a girl in my entire life, and I'm not going to now," and went up and had their seats changed. And you suddenly feel like you're a pariah. It was the first time I had really had people say to me, "Oh, you don't belong here. You're denigrating the entire atmosphere."
Was that motivating in some way? Did that get your engine going?
Oh, it sure did. I mean, you just think, I'll show them. There was also the attitude of we were taking this position from a man, that we would never use it. And I think you got that too, Judy, from people. In fact, the dean even was very concerned about, well, we let you all in, but we're really not convinced you're going to use this. And you wanted to say, excuse me, I'm really not here to be a mascot. You know, why would you think I came here and spent 3 years of my life in this institution just as something to do?
Well, there's this great story of the dinner party where you all were faced with this question.
Right. After dinner, we were positioned on folding chairs in the dean's living room. And we were asked why we'd come to Harvard Law School. Sometimes the question was phrased, taking the place of a man. And at that time, the average age of marriage was 20, and the average age of childbirth was less than 22 years old. So most women got married, had children, and had to drop out. And we were part of the first wave that was trying to do it all. And I think the dean, his question was sharp and very hurtful to a lot of people. But he also felt that being admitted to and studying at Harvard Law School was an extraordinary privilege. And he didn't want anybody to abuse it. Of course, lots of men went on and didn't practice law. More men didn't work in the profession than women.
Pat, do you ever think about your answer and wonder if you had the chance to edit yourself, what you wished you would have said in that situation?
Well, I wish I would have said what one of our classmates said. I think all of us took it very straight, and we were all sitting there with white knuckles thinking of something very profound. And this wonderful blonde from Pasadena, California said, "I'm here because I couldn't get in at Yale." And that instantly put the dean off, and he was like, "What? We've always had higher standards or whatever." And, of course, she was just full of it. She was just having a wonderful time with him. And I thought, darn, why didn't I think of that? That was the way to deal with this. I guess my problem was, is I kept thinking, here's this man who is head of the National Civil Rights Commission. And I just expected more from him than this, you know, we're here to toughen you up. It was like, you know, I'm an adult. I understand this is tough. What is this? You're not calling men in here and putting them in a circle. And yet you got there and you really thought, gee, you have to play because you're here. And that's why I so saluted Ann Dudley, because she didn't.
I imagine some of you were stronger than others. Was there a posse effect, times when you had to try to help someone stick with it? Were there times when some of the women wanted to just hang it up?
I think a number of us in our class and in other classes had those thoughts. It was a very daunting environment, because it was tough for us just like the men, and it was tough for us in other ways. Like, we had to run for a couple of blocks to find a ladies' room because they didn't want to spend the money to put a ladies' room in the main law school building.
It's so amazing we didn't have chronic
bladder infection. I was going to ask you about that. That, you know, there was not a single woman's room in that building.
No.
They were very proud of the fact, because they said that it would take so many volumes out of the library or something,
right,
if they put in And some of them put it in a way that I won't go on. But they weren't about to put it in a ladies' room, let's say. It was going to cost money. So it was like, we let you in, but don't expect anything further.
Now, they tried to toughen you up and to give you a sense of what you would face in the real world. When you went out and worked for firms in the summer, what was that like when you left the law school and went to work in a law firm?
What happened to me in that firm was that we were doing a public offering of the first cable television company called CATV. I walked into the conference room, which was full of men, and the client looked at me and said, "Honey, can you get me a cup of coffee?"
And you said what?
He stopped me dead with that question, and I thought, this is a big entrance exam to this profession. How are you going to answer this? So I said, "Of course, Mr. Fox. How do you take it?" And he told me. Now, in those days, Hughes Hubbard didn't have coffee machines, and you had to go downstairs, which was 26 floors, go across the street to the Chock Full of Nuts and get coffee. So I did that, and I came back and put the coffee in front of him, and he said, "How much do I owe you, honey?" And I said, $25. And he said, "What?" I said, "Well, I'm a summer lawyer here, Mr. Fox. My rate is $50 an hour. It took me half an hour. You owe me $25, but we'll put it on your bill. Now let's get back to work." And I passed the entrance exam.
That's wonderful.
I got an offer, and it worked out.
You had noted that you were among the first group of women that were trying to have it all. Mm-hmm. Do you feel at some point an urge or a desire, or I guess if you had an opportunity to talk to young women today that are in law school, that are in graduate schools, who want to have it all, what advice do you have for them?
I think you can have it all, but what I have learned painfully is that it's very hard to have it all at the same time. I tried to do that. I don't think I succeeded at that as well as I would have liked to, because my kids feel that I wasn't there enough for them when they were growing up. I thought I was, but I was also trying to break into this terribly tough profession. On the other hand, I think Pat really believes and really accomplished that better than I did. She took her children everywhere with her, including the floor of Congress. And when I talked to her daughter, she said, "The thing that made it all okay for me is that my brother and I always knew we were number one with her mom." And I thought my kids knew that too, but they didn't.
As painful as that is that counterbalanced in some way by knowing that there are so many young women who stand on your shoulders?
Actually, to some extent. But if your children think you should have been home more, you never get over that.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Judith Richards Hope is the author of Pinstripes and Pearls. She was joined by her Harvard Law School classmate, former Representative Pat Schroeder. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.